Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous Shiur, we left off at the bottom line of Daf Tzadi Aleph Omid Beis. We noticed at that point we had already encountered the triangle series marking. This represents a series of comments, all beginning with the idea of either Kol HaMoineh HaLocha MiPi Talmid or Kol HaMelamed Torah, etc. Either the withholding of Torah knowledge from the student that wants to learn, and we'll also see another comment in the same vein of Torah learning on Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph. As you can scan ahead, you see the commonality in these triangles. So, picking up from the bottom line of Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis, Kol Hamoneah Halocha MiPi Talmid. Let's note right away we see some lettering and numbering. There's an Aleph, Beis, and Gimel that you see written in here. This will be valuable when we proceed to the Gemara, at which point in which the Gemara will explain by bringing sources each point that will be mentioned here. There's also a Roman numeral number 1. When you see a 1, you've always got to find a number 2. In the first version, we will see the word for the Yikavuhu Pasuk that's going to be cited to back up this statement will have a second meaning later on. So let's continue now with the Gemara itself. Kol HaMoneah HaLocha MiPi Talmid Afilu Ubrin Shebemei Imoy Mekalalin Oisoi. One who withholds Torah teaching from a student, even fetuses in their mother's wombs curse such an individual. Shenemar moinea bar yikvuhu leum. Each word of this pasuk will now be explained to prove this teaching of Rav Shimon Chasida. V'ein leum ela ubrin. The word leum in this pasuk we saw yikvuhu leum. That's a reference to fetuses, unborn. Shenemar uleum mileum yeemotz. That was in that pasuk describes the pregnancy of Rivka Imenu. When she was pregnant, she had la'oim mila'oim, fetuses unborn in her womb. The ein kova, the word in this pasuk that said yikvu, the word kova, which is the root of the word yikvu, that word is ela klola. Again, v'ein kova ela klola. It's a reference to a curse. Shenamar, this pasuk was stated by Bilam, who was hired to curse the Jewish people. And he says, mo ekoiv lo kaboi kale. And you can see the word kabo in the context of cursing. V'ein bar. Notice our little letterings, they correspond to each letter that appeared in the original statement of Rav Shimon Chasida. And now we're going to prove the Aleph. What did the beginning of his statement say? Kol HaMoneah HaLocha MiPi Talmid. And we cited a pasuk. This word bar proves that first point that we're talking about Torah learning. The ein bar ela Torah. The word bar that was referred to by the pasuk Moneah Bar Yikvu Leom. That word means Torah. Shenemar Noshku Bar Pen Ye'enaf. And if you look up the Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, you'll notice the Meforshim on the Tanakh explain this Pasuk further. For our purposes, though, the word bar is taken to mean Torah. So when you put all of this information together, you see that the withholding of bar, monea bar, the pasuk said, the withholding of Torah, yikvuhu meant cursing, laom meant fetuses. Even fetuses in their mother's womb will curse such a person that withholds Torah learning. A second approach. Before we go further, though, let us say ahead of time, the point of difference that we're going to see is going to focus on how to explain the word yikvuhu. The first explanation was cursing. And we added at the bottom of Tzadi Aleph on the Beis a dashed underline under the word mekalalin. That will be contrasted with what Ula Bar Yishmael says now. Ula Bar Yishmael Omer menakvin oisoi kikfor, one who withholds halacha from a student, we're going to keep those that variable the same, namely monea halacha mipitamid. It's the same theme of withholding a Torah learning from a student. But what happens, as opposed to the first approach, which was cursing, this approach says we pierce him. He's to be pierced. Menakvin oisoi kikvora. He is pierced like a sieve, full of holes. And how do we know that? Sieve hocha yikvu laom. This pasuk that was cited, the monea bar yikvu laom, appears here with the word yikvu. Sieve hasam vayikov chur bedalso. And there, meant the word vayikov means making a hole. The word chur indicates a hole. The Omar Abaye ki uchla de katsri. He is pierced, so to speak, and ends up looking like a uchlo de katsri. This is a utensil, a device that was used for scrubbing clothing when washing them. And it was a type of board that was full of holes. V'im limdoi ma'ascharo, and if one does teach someone Torah learning, what is his reward? Omar Rava, Omar Rav Sheshes, Zoche lebrochos ki Yosef. He is Zoche. He merits receiving brochas like Yosef. And you'll notice, of course, that the Gemara now is going to cite a posuk in the same location as the first posuk. Monea, we saw Monea Bar Yikvulum. This was from Mishle Yeralef Posuk Chavav. And here it is, the continuation of posuk Chav, the same posuk. Uvrocha l'roish mashbir. Ve'ein mashbir elo Yosef. The word mashbir is a reference to Yosef. Shenemar v'Yosef hu hashalit al ha'oretz. He was the shalit, the leader of Mitzrayim, of the land of Mitzrayim. Hu hamashbir l'chol am ha'oretz. He was the one that provided, he was the provider for all of the people. So the word mashbir is interchanged with Yosef, and when you look at this pasuk, uvrocha l'roish mashbir, then, as we said before, one who does teach Torah will be zocha to brachos like Yosef. Omar Rav Sheshes, kol hamalamei Torah b'olam hazeh zochu malamdo l'olam haba. Anyone who teaches Torah in olam hazeh will merit teaching it over in the future world. Shenemar, noticing also this is from Mishle Perek Yud Aleph, umarve gamhu yoyre. The word marve means one who satisfies or quenches the thirst of his student, who yoreh, he will in the future continue to teach. Omar Rava. Once again, we draw our attention to the diamonds, but this already is number 12, so you can work your way back with the markings, and you'll notice that these were series of proofs for Tchias HaMesim Min HaTorah, for the resurrection of the dead, as is found in verses in the Tanakh. So we continue. Omar Rava, minayin l'tchias ha'meisim min ha'Torah. From where do we know the resurrection of the dead from the scriptures? Shenemar, yichi ruvein v'al yamois. Now the Gemara explains, yichi ruvein b'olam hazeh. He shall live in this world, v'al yamois l'olam haba. And he will not die. That's a reference to the future, where there will be resurrection of the dead. Ravina Omar Mehocha. V'rabim mishene adom admas ofar yokitsu elu l'chaye oilom v'elu l'charofos l'diroin oilom. So this pasuk from Daniel proves again that there's tchias ha'meisim. It says black on white, many of the yishene admas ofar yokitsu. That means many of those that are sleeping in the ground, meaning they're dead, will Yokitsa, will come back to life. And it says Eilu Lachaye Olam, for an everlasting existence. Rav Ashi Omar Mehocha, the Ata Lech Leketz V'Tanuach V'Ta'amoid L'Goyrolecha Leketz Hayamin. Another pasuk in Daniel indicating that he is God tells him that he will pass away, and then he will ta'amo the girl who gets him in. He will get up. He will be resurrected. We now encounter a new geometric form, and this is alluded to by our comment on the side, the Mivneh, this volcano form. Memros shel Rebelozer, we've indicated. There will appear, as we go along, a double underlining, which is another series marking. These will be Memroisov Benoise Dea, comments that he makes regarding wisdom. And we will see further on, all under the series of Rebbe Lozer comments, we will see a comment, comments of his Memroisov with the crown marking. We won't see that immediately, but a number of lines later, you can scan ahead and you see this crown shape. This indicates Memroisov Beinyan Talmud Torah V'Talmidei Chachamim, comments that he'll be making concerning the study of Torah and Torah scholars. So, as you scan ahead, you can see quite a few comments of Rebbe Lozer. All of those are featured in this particular marking, the volcano form. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Kol Parnos Shemanig Hatzibur Benachas, any Parnos leader that leads, that Manig leads the community pleasantly, Benachas, without pressure and force, Zoche Umanhigam Lo'olam Haba, he will be Zoche, will merit being a leader in the future world as well. Shenemar, Ki Mirachamom Yinahagim. That means Mirachamom, those who have mercy on them in this world, Yinahagim, will lead them in the future. Val Mabue Mayim Yinahalem. The Omer Rebbe Lozer, Gedoylo Dea Shinitno Bein Shtei Oisiois. We have added to this section of Gemara a squiggle underline. This will be emphasizing the expression gedoylo, which means important, choshuv. And you'll see two lines later, again, gadol mikdash. And then a few lines after that, gedoylo nekoma. A series of comments that Rebbe Lozer makes regarding different items and they being considered important. And their importance is as a result of their positioning, the items being positioned between two Shemos Hashem. So it's surrounded, this particular word in this first comment of his is Gedolo Dea, wisdom is important. The Gemara continues, Shinitno Bein Shtei Osios. It's placed between two names, Osios, two names of Hashem. Shinemar Kikel Deos Hashem. Notice we've dashed underlined Deos. That's the focus of this particular comment. And on either side of the word, you see Shemos of Hashem. You see Kael and you see Hashem. The Omer Rebbe Lozer, Godol Mikdash Shinitan Bein Shtei Osios. The Beis Hamikdash is a very choshuv thing in that it also appears between two Shemos Hashem. Shinemar Po'alto Hashem Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yodecha. This we find in the Parsha that's known as the Shiras Hayam. The Mikdash, again, we dashed underline, being that that's the focus of this comment. Maskiflo Rav Ado Karchino. Rav Ado raises an objection. He says, Elo Me'ato, if this be the case, that positioning between Shemos Hashem signifies importance, then Gedolo Nekomo Shinitno Bein Shtei Osios. Are you going to tell me that vengeance is also important in that it it appears also between two Shemos Hashem Dechtiv, Kael Nekomois Hashem, Kael Nekomois Sophia. Notice as we dashed underline Nekomos to either side of that word, you see Shemos Hashem. So is that also important? Is also Choshev? Omar Le, Rebbe Lozer says, in fact it is, Lemilsei Hachinami, when it is necessary, it is very important. Kidu Ula. And this is illustrated by Ula's teaching. The Omar Ula Shtei Hofoyos Halolu Lomo. We read a pasuk that mentioned Hofia. Kael Nekomos Hashem, Kael Nekomos Hofia. And the word Hofia means to appear, to come forward. It is understood as referring in a distributive sense to the two nekamos that were mentioned in the pasuk. The word nekama is often translated as vengeance, or it can also mean, Rashi uses the expression tagmul, a repayment, a retribution, or an act done in response to. We have to see the examples and see the application of nekama each time. The Gemara explains, the Ula points out these two hofois. As we mentioned before, the word hofia in the pasuk had a distributive sense, so even though it appears once in the pasuk, it's understood as referring to the two nekamos. So lama, why are they here? What do they teach us? Achas lemidas toiva, the achas lemidas puranus. One is of a beneficial nature and one is of a punitive nature. This, of course, will be explained by Rashi, and we'll take a look at the Rashi, where we've inserted a diamond, Chado L'Toivo, Shel Yisrael, the Hofa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the appearance or the coming forth of God, referred to in this pasuk, was for the benefit of Israel, that Shesilek Shechinoso Me'umos HaOlam, he removed his divine presence from the other nations of the world, Ubo Al Yisrael, and he came upon Israel, the Kori Le Nekamos, and the word Nekamos is used even though it has a negative connotation, but it, in the truer sense of the meaning of the word, Mishum de Tagmol Toiv Hu Shezochu Lishchina, they merited a positive payment, positive return, in that they merited having the divine presence on them exclusively. Al sha'amroi na'aseh v'nishma, in return, and that we're emphasizing the word return, or in exchange for their having accepted the Torah in an unconditional fashion. They accepted the Torah by saying, first we will do, and then we will hear. In other words, we will do the mitzvahs of you, of Hashem, unconditionally. After accepting that, then they said, okay, and then we'll hear what the mitzvahs are. Unakama hainu tagmul. The word nakama is a reference to repayment. The achas the puranus. The other reference to the hofa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's appearance, as referred to in this pasuk, was as retribution la'ovdei kechavim, for the as far as the idol worshippers are concerned, shenifra mehen liyom adin, that he will punish them on the day of judgment. Gemara expresses itself in the first parak of Avodah Zorah, Nokem Hashem Ubal Chemo. Kodesh Baruch Hu is vengeful and full of wrath, La'akum, to the idol worshippers, Shehu Ba'atzmo V'chodu Nifra Mehem, that he will himself come forth and punish them. V'hainu Hofa'a, and that's what is referred to by his appearance, his coming forth. Continuing in the Gemara, after noting that even Nekama has significance and importance, as we just described by going through the Rashi in detail. The Omar Rebbe Lozer, Kol Odom Shiesh Bo Deo Ki Ilu Nivna Beis HaMikdash B'Yamov. Anyone who has wisdom, the presence of wisdom in a person is viewed as an equivalent of having the Beis HaMikdash constructed in his own time. Shezeh Nitan Bein Shteo, he says Deo is present between two Shemos Hashem, v'zeh nitan bein shtei osios, and likewise the Beis HaMikdash is present between two Shemos Hashem. So they have this equivalent feature to them, hence giving rise to Rebbe Lozer's comment regarding the significance of having wisdom. The Omar Rebbe Lozer, kol adam sheyesh bo deo, l'sof misasher, someone who has wisdom eventually becomes wealthy. Shenema uvedas Chadorim Yimolu Kolhoin Yokor V'Noim, and through wisdom the rooms will become filled with all valuables. The Omar Rebbe Lozer, Kol Adam She'ein Bo Deya Osir L'Rachem Olav, a person who has no wisdom, a fool if you will, it is forbidden to have compassion for him. Shenema Kilo Am Binois Hu al kein lo yirachamenu osehu v'yotzro lo yichununenu yichunenu. And as a result of being an am lo binos, without wisdom, they do not deserve the rachamim, the mercy of the Creator and of anyone else. The Omar Rabbi Lozer, kol anoisein pito lemisha ein bo, they are one who gives bread to someone that is that has no wisdom. In other words, we can say someone who is a fool, you're really wasting it on him. Yisurin boyin alov, troubles will befall someone who gives bread to someone that's a fool. Shenemar lachmecha yosimu mozor tachtecha ein tvuna boi. The ein mozor, the word mozor, which appeared in this pasuk, means ela yisurin. It means trouble. Shenemar vayar Ephraim es cholyoi viuda es mizoro. So you see in this word cholyoi and used in the together with cholyo meaning an ailment, together with the word mizoro, hence it refers to yisurin. V'omar Rabbi Elazar, kol odom she'ein bo dea, l'sov goyla, a person who lacks wisdom, eventually he will be exiled. Shenemar l'chein golo ami mibli das. So you see a reference to golus, exile, and bli das, because of lacking wisdom. V'omar Rabbi Elazar, kol bayis she'ein divrei Torah nishmoin bo balayla, any house that does not have Torah learning heard in its walls during the nighttime, eish ochloso, such a house will be consumed by fire. Shenemar, kol choshech tamun litzfunov tochleu eish loinofach yera sarid bo'oholo. The general explanation of the pasuk is kol choshech is a reference to laila, nighttime. Tamun litzfunov means tamun, hidden from this house. Is tzfunav are the tzfunas a reference to the secrets of Torah? In other words, the Torah is hidden, namely, it's not heard in this particular house. And so the pasuk says that eish lo nofach, a fire that does not need fanning. It's a reference to the fire of Gehenom. That fire will consume it. The pasuk also made reference to the word sarid. It said yera sarid ba'alo. We've emphasized the word sarid with a special marking, a house with a colored in tip. This word will appear a few times in the next few lines in different psukim. So we say, Ein sarid ela talmud chacham, shenemar uvesridim asher Hashem koirei. So this pasuk meant that if there is no Torah learning heard in such in a house, so it will be bad for the Talmud Chacham, in that it will be consumed by fire. V'omar Rabbi Elazar, kol she'eino mehane talmidei chachamim minechasov. Notice we have the crown marking, and we made reference to it earlier. We said that this would be a reference to comments made regarding Torah learning and talmidei chachamim. He says that anyone who is not does not benefit a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, kol she'eino mahana talmidei chachamim min chasov, eino roye simen bracha li'olam, will not benefit in seeing any blessing forever. Shenemar, ein sarid lo'achloi, al kein lo yochil tuvo. And once again, ein sarid ela talmidei chachamim, just like we said before, the word sarid is a reference to talmidei chachamim. Shenemar ubisridim asher Hashem korei. And so if you look back at the pasuk, you see if the ein sarid lo achlo, that he doesn't give ochel, he doesn't benefit a talmid chacham, so there will not be any good for such a person. V'yomar Rabbi Elazar, kol she'eino mishayer pas al shulchanoi, anyone who does not leave any bread on his table. The idea of leaving bread over on the table was that when one finishes his meal, something will be left for others to benefit from. The Rashi makes a reference to necessity that he says kol sheinu mashayer ptitin. He says that tzorach l'shayer kirichtiv. The pasuk says achol v'hoser. You eat and you should leave over. And we mentioned that the leaving over is that food that's left over will benefit others. So someone who doesn't leave over, eino roa simin brocha li'olam, shenemar ein sarid li'ochloi, al kein lo yochil tuvoi. Now, focusing on this last comment of Rabbi Lozer's, that, and we noticed we have a dashed underline, kol she'eino mishayer, we're going to now ask on that point. The ha'oma Rabbi Lozer, and we've inverted Rabbi Lozer because this is an opposite approach that Rabbi Lozer takes, and hence giving rise to our question, kol ha'mishayer ptitim al shulchana, one who leaves over bread on his table, ki'ilu oyved avodah zara, it's as if he's worshipping idols. In other words, the leaving over of food, it seems that he's using that, he's leaving it over as an offering to an idol, shenemar, ha'orachim lagad shulchan, v'hamimalim lamini mimsoch. God and Mini are names of idols. So it describes here one who sets up a table, so to speak, for the idol. And that's evidenced or illustrated by his leaving over food. So Lumar says, Lo Kashya, we don't have to say that there's a problem or a discrepancy or a contradiction in these two comments of Rebbe Lozer. Ha the ikos shlemo bahadei. When do we say it's forbidden? Namely, the inverted Rebbe Lozer comment that one who leaves over bread on his table, it's as if he's serving avodah zarah. That is when there are whole loaves or whole units of bread that together with the pieces that he's leaving over. The fact that there's a complete loaf, if you will, that shows us that he is doing it for the sake of the idol. Ha deleko shlema badei. If whatever is left are just pieces, then there's no problem. In fact, regarding that, we have the first comment of Rebbe Lozer that if one doesn't leave over the pieces, he won't see a simen bracha. Continuing with Rebbe Lozer comments, Rama Rebbe Lozer, kol ha-machlif b'diburoi, anyone who switches his speech, or maybe more simply, he lies, ki'ilu oyved avodah zarah, it's tantamount to serving idols. K'siv hocha, v'yisi be'enov kimisatea, Yankiv Avinu says that I will appear in the eyes of Yitzchak as a liar, as a mesatea. V'k'siv hosam, Hevel Hemo Maase Tatuim. We should emphasize that in the context of the story with Yankiv and Yitzchak, Yankiv was supposed to present himself as someone other than he was, a form of lying. And the other pasuk where you see the similar expression, it says Hevel Hema Maase Tatuim. That pasuk Maase Tatuim, which we dashed underline as well, is a reference to idols. The Omar Rebbe Lozer Kol Hamistakil Be'erva. One who views that which is forbidden. Erva would be the places that require modesty, the extreme modesty. So one who gazes upon those parts of that specific part of the anatomy that is supposed to be covered, and one gazes upon it, kashtoi min eris, his strength becomes weakened, leaves him. Rashi has a number of pshatim on the word nineris, but what we said will suffice. Shenemar erya te'or kashtecha, that viewing that which is erva will cause the removal of one's strength. The Omar Rebbe Lozer le'olam have a kovel v'tayam. One should always strive to be modest, and by being kovel meaning an onov. Humility, modesty, that v'kayim, he will last, to preserve himself. Amar Bizera, afana nami tanino. We have a Tanaic source that expresses this idea, albeit in a different context, but there is an analogy. Bayis ofel, a dark house which is suspected of having in it negoyim. Negoyim, there are certain wall discolorations that would render it tome and possibly subject to being destroyed even, nevertheless, it's going to be very hard to view the negoyim, and only as a result of viewing them can we actually rule that the discoloration is an official nega. Nevertheless, ein poischen lo chalonos lirois negoy. We don't open windows to allow more light to enter. We don't create windows to allow more light to enter. Shma mino. So the point being, the ofel, the darkness, is that which is not seen. That's tantamount to modesty. One who's modest, who is an onov, is not felt by his surroundings. He's not seen, so to speak. And as a result of that, in the case of the house, that which is unseen causes it to be preserved. Omar Rav Tovi Omar Rav Yoshia. My dichtiv. Once again, we have a diamond marking and also a number 15 here, so this helps to connect us back with the previous discussions and proofs regarding Trias HaMesim. My dichtiv she'oil v'oitzer rechem eretz lo savo mayim. In this pasuk, there's a reference to she'oil, which is the grave, the buried, sometimes refers to as Gehenim, and also rechem is mentioned here, a womb. The question is, v'chima inyan she'oil eitzel rechem. Why are these two phrases appearing together with each other? The pasuk said at the beginning, she'oil v'oitzer rechem. So what is the connection between she'oil, the grave, and the womb? Eloloi ma'loch. It teaches us, ma rechem machnis u'moitzi, just like the womb, there is material that enters, and eventually it develops into a child and exits. Af she'oil, so too the grave, machnis u'motzi. The body is put in, and the body will come out alive. Resurrection. V'halo dvarim kal v'chomer, uma, and we can even apply a kal v'chomer piece of logic to this. Uma rechem, shemachnisen boy b'chashai, motzien mimenu b'kolikolos. The rechem, when the material is put in, it's done in a very quiet, a private fashion. When the baby is born, it comes out b'kolikolos, with screams, noise. She'oil shemachnisen boy b'kolos. The grave where the individual is put into it with crying, all the mourners that are around, Einodin, Shemotzian, Mimenu, Bekole, Kolos, all the more so, you can rest assured that the resurrection will be accompanied by a lot of sounds. Mikan, Tshuva, Lo'imrim, Ein Trias HaMesim, Min HaTorah. From here as well, you see a response to anyone who claims that there is no scriptural reference to the resurrection of the dead. And you can see with our markings how we've consistently squiggle underlined these phrases, the phrases that you see attached to the point that Morris says, Mikan l'tchis ha-mesim in HaTorah, or tshuva to those responsible that say there's no tchis ha-mesim. Tono de Bei Elio. We have the following teaching, Tanaic source, Tzadikim she'asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'achyoson, einon chozerin l'afron. The righteous that will be resurrected in the future will not die. They will continue to live. Shenemar, v'ya nishar b'tzion, v'anoysar b'yushalayim, kadosh ye'omer lo'i, kol ha'kosuv l'chaim b'yushalayim. How do we see this proven here? Ma kodosh lo'olam kayam, just like that which is holy remains holy forever. Af heim lo'olam kayomim, so too those that come back to life will be alive forever. Ve'im toimar, you might ask, oison shonim she'asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chadesh bohen es ha'olamo. There are years in the future that the Kodesh Baruch Hu will be renewing the world. In other words, the existing world will be shut down, so to speak, or destroyed, and a renewal period will take place. Shenemar, and the Pasuk indicates such an event. V'nisgav Hashem levadoi b'yoyim ahu. So the question is, Sadikim ma hein oisin? In order to ease the reading of this Gemara, you might want to take advantage of the brackets that you see, so that if you read the Gemara using the brackets, you would start from the top and skip the pasuk that's cited, and it would make the reading a little bit easier. So let's try that. Starting from the top, V'im toimar oisan shonim she'osan HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chadesh bohen esay lomoi tzadikim mahein oisan. During the years that the Kodesh Baruch Hu will be renewing the world, what will the tzadikim be doing? And of course, in the brackets is the pasuk that proves that there is a time that Hashem will be by himself, so to speak. That's a reference to the period of time the Kodesh Baruch Hu is renewing the world. But you just said that tzadikim that will be resurrected will continue living forever. What will they be doing in the interim? Answer, HaKodesh Baruch Hu oisalem kenofayim kinesharim. Kodesh Baruch Hu will provide for them wings like the eagles. V'shotin al pnei hamayim. And they will hover over the water. Shinemar al kein lo nira behamir eretz uvamoit harim belev yamim. And this pasuk indicates that there shall be no fear during the time that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is exchanging the world for something else. And as we just indicated, they will be provided with these wings that will enable them to preserve themselves. V'shema toimer yeshlan tzar, you might say, but for such a long time they have to flutter their wings, that's a pain. That's how is that good for the tzaddikim? Talmud lomar v'koyvei Hashem yachlifu koyach yalu ever kaneshorim yorutsu v'lo yigo yechu v'lo yiofu. So this pasuk is a reference to the tzaddikim, the koyvei Hashem, those that always are hoping to be connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says yachlifu koyach, they'll have their strength renewed and they will be able to flutter and preserve themselves without tiring out. The Gemara asks, "V'neilef mimesim shehechio Yecheskel." Maybe we ought to learn from those that were revived by the prophet Yecheskel, and we know that those that were revived by the prophet Yecheskel died again. In other words, even though they experienced rejuvenation or resurrection, it wasn't permanent. So why is it that you tell us in this source that tzaddikim, that their she'asiyin lahachios, they will live on forever? The Gemara answers, Sovar lo keman di omar, the emes moshol hoyo. The Tana, the Be'elio, that indicated that tzaddikim will continue to live, says that the incident involving the resurrection of the dead by Yecheskel was not an actual event. It was a moshol. It was an analogy. In fact, there is the Tana, Rabbi Huda, who appears in the upcoming Tanakh source, he being one of several opinions as to what happened with the dead that were revived by Yecheskel. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that it never really happened, and as a result of that, you couldn't ask a question from that non-event to the case of the tzaddikim that will be revived in the future, that the Tana de Be'elio claims will continue to live forever. Tisanya. Now we present a Tanaic source with these different opinions. Our topic heading that we've assigned to this is on the side, you see Nosei, the topic heading, Mesim Shehechio Yecheskel, Emes Oy Moshal. The first issue is, was it a real event or just an analogy? And a second point, Mihem Hoyu, who were they? The source continues, and we've also added numbers to help identify the each opinion and how many opinions there are. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Meisim Shech Yecheskel, Omdu al Raglehem, the Omru Shira Umesu. According to Rabbi Elazar, there was an event where Yecheskel revived some deceased. They stood up, sang praise, and died again. Ma Shira Omru, what was the nature, what was the content of their praise? Of their song, Hashem Memis B'Tzedek U'Mechaye B'Rachamim. That's the first opinion as to what they said, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he kills because that's the Tzedek, that's the right thing to do, and his revival is something that's done through mercy. Rabbi Yeshua, a second opinion on what the Shira was, Omer Shira Zu Omru, Hashem Memis Umechaye, Moirid Sheol Vayal. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Emes Moshel Hoya. Rabbi Yehuda's a second opinion regarding the what's known as the dry bones in the Yechezkel story. He says, Emes Moshel Hoya. It's a difficult phrase, and we've dashed underlined it. We want to try to focus on that. Amar lo Rabbi Nechemya, im emes loma moshel. Emes means a true event. Moshel means an analogy. So if it was a true event, why do you call it an analogy? Why do you call it just a parable? The im moshel, if it was just an example of something, in other words, just a parable, loma emes, why do you refer to it as a true event? Elo, so to restate what Rabbi Yehuda meant to say is elo be'emes moshel hoyo. Be'emes means, it, with certainty, it was merely a parable. Rabbi Elazar beno shel Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer, Meisim Shech Yecheskel, Olu Leretz Yisrael, V'nosu Noshim, the ones that were revived by Yecheskel, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, left where they were, and they came to Eretz Yisrael. They left Bavel and entered Eretz Yisrael. V'nosu Noshim, married women, V'lidu Bonim Ubonos, and had boys and girls. They produced families. Omar Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra al Raglov Yomar. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra got up and he said, "Ani mibnei bneihem, v'alolu tefillin sheniach li avi abo mehem. I am a descendant of those that were resurrected by Yechezkel that came to Eretz Yisrael, and I even have the tefillin that my grandfather left me from them." Uman ninhu mesim shech Yecheskel. Who were those that were revived by Yecheskel? Who were they? So we have a triangle symbol, and we have an explanation on the side. The mivneh, the structural note, the triangle is featured. Deois al mi hoyu hamesim shech Yecheskel. Different opinions. Who were those that were resurrected? Omar Rav. So Rav offers the first of the series of opinions. Elu b'nei Ephraim she monu leketz v'to. This is a reference to the bones were those of the members of the tribe of Ephraim that left Mitzrayim early. In other words, they miscalculated the date of the end of the Egyptian exile. They calculated that it would end 30 years earlier than it actually ended. Shinema uvnei Ephraim shuselach uvered beno v'sachas benoi ve'el odo benoi v'sachas benoi v'zavod beno v'shuselach beno v'ezer ve'el od v'haragum anshei gas hanolodim ba'aretz. So we have a list of offspring of the tribe of Ephraim, and it indicates that they were murdered by the people of Gas. Uksiv vayesabel Ephraim aviem yomim rabim vayavo echov lenachamoy. Ushmuel Omar, Elu b'nei Odom shekofru b'tchias ameisim. The bones that Yecheskel revived were those that deny Tchias HaMesim. Their revival was merely a simon to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Shenemar Vayomer Elai Ben Adam Ha'atzomo Yisraele Kol Beis Yisrael Hema Hinei Oimrim Yavshu Atzmoisenu V'ovda Tikvosenu Nigzarnu Lanu. The purpose of this pasuk is to show that the bones that were revived were a simon to the rest of Klal Yisrael that there will be a full-fledged revival of the dead. And we've dashed underlined the expression the Ovdo Tikvasenu because these were the bones of those, the bones that were featured in the Yecheskel story were those that claimed they have no hope. In other words, that there is no Tchias HaMesim. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Omar, Elu b'nei Odom she'ein b'hem l'chluchus shel mitzvah. The bones in the Yecheskel story were those of people that had no hint of mitzvah performance. L'chluchus literally means dampness or freshness. In other words, they were dry of mitzvahs. She'nemar ha'atzamos he'aveshos shimu devar Hashem. The dry bones is referred to, indicating dry from mitzvahs. Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha Omar, Elu b'nei Odom she'chipu es ha'echal kula shkotzu remosim. These are the bones of those people who, when alive, they had covered the holy temple with shkotzim and remosim, with insects and other forbidden creatures, tomei creatures. Shenemar v'avoy v'ere v'hinei kol tavnis remes u'behemo sheketz v'chol gilulei beis Yisrael m'chuku ala kir saviv uksiv hosam v'havireni alehem saviv saviv. So you see the word saviv in the context of those that covered the temple with forbidden items, and in the context of Yecheskel Perek Lamed Zayin, which dealt with the bones, you also see the word saviv appearing. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Elu Mesim Shebebikas Dura. These are the dead in the valley of Dura. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Minar Eshel Ad Rabas, from the area known, from the place called Nahar Eshel until the place called Rabas, equals Bikas Dura. That is the area that's known as Bikas Dura. Shebeshah Shehigla Nebuchadnezzar HaRosh Es Yisrael, when Nebuchadnezzar exiled the Jewish people, Hoyabohen Bachurim Shoyu Meganin Esachamo Biyofion, there were some very handsome young men that their handsomeness eclipsed the sun. In other words, through their beauty, as we would say, outshined the sun. Vahiu Kasios Roso Son, the females, the women of Bovel, saw them, v'shoifos zavos, and they had, literally, they had the body emissions. That is this is an expression of they had great desire and lust for these Jewish young men, and they were married women themselves. Omru l'balehen, they told their husbands about these handsome men, u'baleim l'melech, and their husbands informed the king. Sivu HaMelech V'Horgum, the king commanded that they shall be executed. V'adayin Hoyush, namely the Jewish exiles, shall be executed. V'adayin Hoyush Shoifoi Zavos, and even after they were executed, the women were still full of lust for these other Jewish men. Sivu HaMelech V'Romsum, and the king commanded that they shall be trampled under as well. Ton Rabbanon, b'shah shehipil Nebuchadnezzar Rosha, es Hananya Mishov Azayel Kipshana Esh. The topic that we are now starting is featured on the side of the Nosei, and we've called it Hananya Mishov Azayel, three righteous people during the time of the Golos Bavel, the Babylonian exile after the destruction of the first temple, and we're talking about them, the Kipshana Esh, the story whereby they were thrown into a furnace. So the Brisa tells us that when Nebuchadnezzar threw them, Hanan Mishael Isaiah, the Kishon Eish, Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYecheskel, Lech VeHechyo Mesim VeBikas Dura. I want you to go and revive the dead in that place, Bikas Dura, as we saw before. Kevan SheHechyo Eison, when they were revived, Bo'u HaTzomois VeTofchu Loi LeOiso Rosh Alponov. Those very individuals that were revived came and hit Nebuchadnezzar on the face. Omar, Nebuchadnezzar realized who they were, that they were revived from the dead, and he said, or he wondered who they were. Ma tivon shel elu, what is the nature? Who are these? Omru lo. Chaverehen shel elu mechaya meisim bebikas dura. He was informed that that Yecheskel, who was the friend of these people that were thrown into the pit, into the furnace, named Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the friend of those thrown in the pit, Mechayim Meisa Bebikas Dura. He revived these people that have now come to you and struck you on the face. He revived them in Bikas Dura. Posach V'yomar, Nebuchadnezzar opened up and said praise to God. Asoihi kemo ravravin, v'simhoi kemo takifin, malchusei malchus alam, v'shaltonei imdor vador. The spirit of this posik is that Nebuchadnezzar was saying that his works and his wanderings are so great, and his kingdom, God's kingdom, is forever. Imagine, here we have the destroyer of the Beis HaMikdash turning around and singing amazing praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Yitzchak Zohav Roseach Lesoch Piv Shal Oysa Rosha. Let there be poured molten gold into the mouth of that evil man. In other words, stop him, so to speak. She'il mole bo malach v'sotra alpiv, had an angel not come and struck him, Nebuchadnezzar, on his mouth. In other words, if he would have continued singing praises, bikesh leganois kol shiros v'dishbochos she'omar David b'sefer tehillim, he would, Nebuchadnezzar would have, in effect, eclipsed the songs and praises that we are familiar with from David HaMelech in the book of Psalms. Tana Rabbanan, we have another Tanaic source focusing on the miracles that happened when they were thrown into the furnace, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Shisha nisim nasu ba'oisa hayoyim v'eluhin. There were six miracles that happened when they were thrown into the furnace, and they are as follows. And you can see with our numberings that will be provided, we will count up to six. V'eluhin, tzof hakivshan. The furnace, which was originally dug deep into the ground, it surfaced. Tzof literally floated up. It means it surfaced. And Rashi says, he says that it was surfaced so that everyone would see what's happening. V'nifratz hakivshan. A little bit of the wall that encloses the furnace broke open so people could see what's taking place inside. V'humak sodo. Rashi says, nishbal geuso kemo suro ra, and loshan acher humak sodo kemo yisodo nishtal sheil. That's the second shot, that its foundation fell. V'chein lindani Rabbi Yaakov ben Yakor. A third shot Rashi gives, avomori goras v'humak sido. Sid hakivshan, the surface of the furnace, the covering of the furnace, nimsa, melted away, meroiv chamimus, from the intense heat. Kach shamati, thusly I heard, says Rashi, v'hoisa mosheches lemerachok, and it flowed at a great distance. Mehevel shall also hasid nisufu oisin sheshlichu chanan mishal v'azaria l'soch kivshanesh. And as a result of the heat that now escaped from the furnace, it actually burnt those that were responsible for throwing chanan mishal v'azaria initially into the fire. Continuing, fourth miracle, v'ne'apach tzelem alponov, the statue that was featured in that particular story fell on its face. V'nisrifu arba malchios, and four different nations or kings and their people that were responsible for these righteous people being thrown in, they themselves were burnt. V'hech Yecheskel es ha'mesim b'gaz dura, and Yecheskel at that point in time, as we saw just above, he brought the dead back to living. V'kulu gemora, v'arba malchios kra. Means all of the, I should say more accurately, five of the six events are based on oral tradition, and one of them, namely number five, the issue of the those that threw them in themselves were burnt, that's based on a pasuk. Dichtiv. We have a long pasuk with a lot of Aramaic words in it. Most of the words are references to different officials and officers, and we will notice by reading on in the Psukim, even though we will not offer a literal translation for every word, we will notice that in the earlier Pasuk there's a reference to more officers than you find later on. The lacking of these individuals, their not being mentioned, is an indication that they ceased to live. The Pasuk says, Dichtiv, Unevuchanetzer Malka, Shlach Lemichnash Lachashtar Penaya, Signayo Ufachvosa, Adargozarayo, Gidavrayo, Disavrayo, Tiftoye, Vichol Shultoine Medinosa. Nebuchadnezzar sent and gathered all of these different types of leadership figures. Uksiv Isai Guvrin Yehudoyin. And the Pasuk indicates there, this we opened up with Pasuk Beis. In the middle of this we see Pasuk Yud Beis is cited. That's a reference to the tzaddikim, the righteous ones that were thrown into the furnace. Chananya Mishav Azariah. Uksiv Umiskanshin. And later on in Pasuk of Zion, it says Umiskanshin Achshar Tepenaya, Signaya, Ufachvosa, Vahadovre, Malka, Chozayin, Leguvraya, Ileich, Vechulei. And as we mentioned before, in this Pasuk, which makes reference again to officials, there are many fewer officials referred to. The fact is that when as we saw before, when they were thrown into the furnace, one of the miracles was the wall broke open, the wall of the furnace broke open, and the heat escaped. It burnt those people that threw the tzaddikim in the fire in the first place. Tani de Beir Abilezer ben Yaakov, Afilu b'shas asakona, lo yishana odam es atzma min rabonus shaloi. That even when a person is in a state of danger, in life-threatening state, he should not change his official uniform, his expressions of honor that he wears upon himself. Shinemar Beidayin Guvraya Ilech Kfisu Besar Volehon Pachehon Vechar Boloshoin. These expressions of that were mentioned in the Pasuk, the last three expressions, are different forms of clothing. In other words, when they were thrown into the fire, they insisted on keeping on their, we'll call it their rabbinic garb or their leadership outfits. Rashi says, "Al yishana min rabbanu shelo, shemichanan shel vazaria hayu levushin bigdei tifarton." They were wearing their clothing of glory, kishuhushlechu lekivshon, when they were thrown into the fire. So from that we see, al yishana, a person should not change. He should, even if he's in dire danger, he shouldn't disrobe from his original clothing of importance, so that he should not appear fear-struck. He should go in with dignity and confidence, and as a result of that, and that will cause even greater embarrassment on the part of their enemies. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.